The doctor is in and taking your calls at 800-222-5222. It's Dr. Drew, midday live with Leanne Tweeden. And you can get it right now.
It is midday live. Leanne Tweeden, Dr. Drew, 800-222-5222 is our phone number. And you can take one person off your holiday shopping list when you win $5,000. A $5,000 piece of jewelry at Royal Gems in Encino. Royal Gems specializes in custom jewelry. Go to kbc.com to register for the full list of rules. I'm giving that away. Well, I'm giving the chance to sign up for that. And I'll be giving away some tickets a little bit later. Right now, we're going to go out to former foreign policy advisor. Whoops, I'm sorry. That is later in the show. That's going to be George Papadopoulos. He's not with us right now. We are going out to executive consultant and productivity specialist Brian Moran. You can follow him at Brian Moran, M-O-R-A-N, 12weekyear.com. The book is called The 12 Week Year. Brian, welcome to the program.
Hi there. Hey, Drew. Leanne, how are you?
Good, thanks. How are you?
Doing well.
All right. So, you know, I was kind of reading a little bit about this. Sometimes I have two little kids, and this morning I was rushing, and I'm one of those people who feel like I never have any free time, and I'm always feeling rushed. What is this 12-week year thing? Do I need to know about? Is it going to change my life for the better?
It could very well change your life for the better, Leanne. Yeah. So what we do is we work with our clients on really helping them accomplish more of what matters. And so the 12-week year is a process that one of the things that gets in the way is the annual environment, because it seems like there's lots of time to get things done. So we just pile more on. And then, you know, the real crux of the matter is everyone's kind of operating in overwhelm and just going from one thing to the next.
You know, it's interesting. I just did an interview yesterday with a clutter expert. And she was saying the same thing. She goes, well, but she was saying, you know, really, when I have to declutter, we start in the garage because that's where you started accumulating stuff. And that's where some stuff's going to need to go. And you start in the periphery.
Oh, you got to make space to put stuff that you need to put into storage.
Because that's where you started accumulating things. It sort of creeps in. It's the creep.
You know, that gives me anxiety now just thinking about that, because Chris always, all the stuff in the garage is, like, you know, 90% mine.
But I've seen your house. It's not cluttered, but it could get there. Yeah, come see our house. It's cluttered now. We're going to have a big purge day. But it reminds me that we manage time in a very similar way, Brian. Do you agree?
Yeah. I mean, think about that. Only think about the mental clutter and clearing the garage and making room to move some of that out.
Yeah.
Because it's constantly weighing on your mind. You know, in the back of your mind, you're like, oh, so I got to do this. That's what keeps a lot of people up at night, right? You're like, tomorrow, oh, my God, I forgot to do this. I got to pay this bill. I got to get that project done. The kids got to do this. I got to bring snack to class. And it's overwhelming.
Yeah, and society, you know, studies have shown society's moving faster than ever before. Technology's exacerbating. It's not the solution. It's actually adding to it. I remember I would leave, back in the day, you'd leave work, you'd drive home, and you'd wind down. Now you're on the phone. Sometimes you pull in the drive, and you got to sit there 5 minutes to finish
it's
the
so
call
true.
Before you actually go in.
Oh, God, that's
so
sad.
So is there a philosophy to your answer? What's the construct here?
The crux.
Yeah, it's really about, the 12-week year is about focusing on the few, the things that really matter, because there's this tendency to try and take it all on, which means we're going to be mediocre at everything at best.
Yep.
With the 12-week year, it's let's be great at a few things versus mediocre at matter and really, really living with intentionality. What matters most, knowing that I can't do it all, I'm not going to get to it all. And if I take the day as it comes, then the day dictates what matters versus me being intentional about that.
You know, it's interesting. I just saw, you know, how a lot of people are talking about, you know, 4-day work weeks or working from home. And I just saw, I don't know if this has anything to do with what you're talking about, but I saw earlier this week an article where it said most people can get their work done in less hours a day than the work day that you normally have, when they know, like, they could do it in 10 hours versus 15 hours a day. And I'm thinking, well, if we can, then why do we drag it out? If we can do the work, you know what I mean? That's the thing, where if we can do 5 days of work in 4 days, it's so interesting. Is it the mindset? Because we know we only have 10 hours to do it instead of dragging it out over 15, because that's just how much time we're allotted. Or is it us that's doing it? It's not that we're not capable of doing it.
Well, we're not. It is us, for sure, Leanne. Think about how productive you are the day before you go on vacation.
No, I mean, you get everything done.
If you had If you had one of those days a week, you'd be done.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, we do have that capacity. We tend to just fill the time, and we tend to get involved in a lot of activity that doesn't matter. Some of it's avoidance activity. Sometimes, you know, the real activity that is important is not easy. It's kind of the uncomfortable. We talk about it as the heavy lifting. And so there's a tendency for me to avoid that. And as I put that off and as I procrastinate about that, that's one of the challenges in an annual cycle. It's just when I look and I got 12 months to accomplish my goals, January is not quite so important. But the reality is that, you know, life is lived in the moment. And the more intentional you are, the more present you are, you know, the richer it is. And so just being more there's a mindset that goes with the behaviors that support, you know, productive behavior.
You know, it's funny. My son, he had a little Christmas program at school last night, and he's only in kindergarten, but they had, for the different grades up to fifth grade, like they had lines, you know, some kids were picked to have a different line. And I'm one of those, when I get his folder home from school every day, like if there's something he needs to learn, even if it's a week or a month out, like I start it right then, because I'm one of those. I have a lot of penguins on my iceberg. That's how I kind of look at information in my brain. And so if yeah. I can knock off penguins off my iceberg as soon as I get them, because I would be that person. If I had a month to do something, if I don't do it immediately, I'd be that girl that's like, oh my God, that project's due tomorrow. And then I'm rushing, and then I'm full of anxiety. It's overwhelming. And then I'm locked up, and when I get overwhelmed, I can't do anything. I like freeze, right? So I'm one of those where I'm like, okay, I see the paper. I'm like, oh, here's your line, Kane. And like by the dinner, he could do it five different ways with different, you know, inflections and tones and everything, you know, but I'm like, okay, well, now for a month, I don't even have to worry about it. I don't think about it. Like once a week, I'll be like, what's your line? What's your Christmas line? You know, and he had it.
Right,
but at least
right.
It made for me, it works. It made space in my brain that it opened up volume for other things that I could worry about that needed to get done, because I took care of that one immediately instead of procrastinating.
Yeah, that's the key. But it's really realizing what matters and what doesn't, because some of that stuff's going to come your way and it doesn't matter. And it's being able to let go of that as much as it is being able to jump on, you know, the things that matter. So
how do people figure that out?
Yes, and what to say.
But
no
how do there might be people that go, right, how do I know what that is?
What is
the important stuff besides the obvious stuff that, you know, paying your bills or getting projects done that you have to for work? How do you know what is important?
Sure. With the 12-week year, we look at the bigger things, right? Which starts with what do you want in your life? What do you want your life to look like 3 years from now, 5 years from now? What does great look like? And then that really drives the near-term goals. So we have a long-term vision. We set 12-week goals instead of annual goals, because annual goals don't work. Annual plans don't work. And that really starts to define for everybody what matters most. And because there'll be professional goals, there'll be some personal goals with that too. And then operating from that vantage point that says, look, I'm going to start with blocking out time for this stuff and let the rest of the day fill in, knowing there's going to be more of the day that I never get to, but that's okay. Because that's not the stuff that really matters.
And do you find that for humans, because, you know, overwhelming for me is a good word that describes a lot of things, that, you know, the 12-week plan, the 12-week year, which is basically 3 months, that it's easier for people to sort of take things and look at it in little 3 month chunks and going, like you said, it's only January. God, I got till December. Or, oh God, it's December. Right. It's so overwhelming that you can sort of chew it up in smaller little pieces. That's more easy to digest. It's easier for people to take on these tasks, you know, when you know there's the goal of like, oh, it's only 12 weeks. It's not, oh my God, it's the end of December. Right. It's only January. I can do that later. And then later is November.
Yeah, later never comes, right?
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah, it's that near term, that 12-week creates a sense of urgency that doesn't exist in an annual environment, but it eliminates the overwhelm, because in an annual environment, we're like, oh, I can take on all this stuff, and you don't realize that life is lived in the moment. And in the moment, all that stuff creates the overwhelm. So really paring that down, focusing on 12 weeks. And the other thing that happens is we build momentum. You know, we start to see progress because we're focused in a few areas. The needle starts to move, which builds our confidence, which creates more momentum, which lowers the stress. And so it's just it's a very different way of operating. That's just much more effective.
I have to tell you, my husband, Drew, this is funny too. You'll probably find this funny. Chris is very much a big picture. My husband's military. He's very educated, a lot of different degrees and stuff like that. But I'm very detail oriented. Like, I was up till 4 a.m. I'm not going to lie, working on my kids, you know, Polar Express train. I'm like, you know, with a needle and, you know, fishing wire, putting Beyblades, like, you know, sewing them in, hanging them like ornaments. Like, it's got to be perfect in my mind. Chris was like, he woke up this morning, how late were you up? And I'm like, 4. He's like, you're crazy. And he'll always look at me and go, it doesn't have to be perfect. Like, you, when I was going to college online, he's like, you don't have to get an A every time. I'm like, yes, I do. He goes, no, you don't. He goes, look at some of my reports from the Air Force Academy. He's like, I got an F in math. He's like, you have to do the best you can do. And sometimes if you run out of time, you run out of time. It's great. Only you are going to notice that it, you know, so my husband really does a good job of sort of talking me off the ledge when I don't even realize I'm on the ledge, you know what I mean? And he's a really good buffer for me, because a lot of times he's like, stop, Leanne, stop. You can stop. You can go,
you know,
infinitely. Yes, yes. He's like, put it down. You could do a million more things to it. Put it down. It's great. It's fine. It'll be better than everybody else's. It's not even that I'm competing with anybody else. I'm like, you know, just doing it for myself. You know what I mean? But thank God for him, because I would probably lose my mind.
You know, Leanne, in the book, we talk about this notion of life balance and how it's a misnomer. And I mean, even if you could balance equal time in equal areas, it wouldn't create what you want. So we talk about intentional imbalance, right? Being intentional about the imbalance in your life. And there's seasons, right? You're talking about a season where you have young kids and you want to do these things for them and you want to invest in them in this way. Mm-hmm. And so just being mindful of that and knowing that that's the season you're in and being intentional with that, and you don't beat yourself up for it. But there's a time, too, when you say, okay, enough is enough, right? It's not about being perfect.
Right.
It's about doing it the best I can. And
being present.
Away from
being
it.
There.
We're speaking of Brian Moran. You can follow him on Twitter at Brian P. Moran. The 12weekyear.com is the website. The book is The 12-Week Year. I want to talk to you about, we have to take a break in just a minute here. We'll talk about New Year's resolutions and how to make them actually work. But I want to push a little bit back on the being here now sort of philosophy. I mean, as physicians, we are trained only to be completely overwhelmed in a tsunami and a hurricane all the time, and to take it as it comes and to accept whatever rolls in. If it's a massive triage because of a plane crash, or it's just a lot of admissions roll through that night, or we had a bunch of patients lined up and they all end up being sick, you are constantly behind and constantly out of control. And we are trained up to just manage that. So what do we do? And there's no not being perfect. There is no putting your priorities anywhere other than in the patient. So how does this apply to my profession?
Yeah, well, I think about that, though. That what you just described is an environment where your work is dictated by inputs. Everything's coming at you, and that's your job. That's your role, to take it as it comes. Very different than life, I think. Right? You can take
except when you're a physician, your job is your life, and that's the problem. And you've decided the season is, I'm away from my family. I get home when I can. I don't eat. That's the season, because I've accepted this job, and that goes on indefinitely. So I look at those seasons as, you know, long 5-year arcs. We're like, okay, I'll do this for the next 5 years. Then we'll try to look for some other administrative job, maybe. But when you're in it, you have you can't do it halfway. You've got to go all the way.
Well, that's when you go on the Masked Singer.
That's the alternative.
That is Dr. Drew's way of practicing self-care. Singing opera
is right.
in a you know, masked costume as the eagle prancing around singing.
But listen, prancing, I like that.
By the way, did you take that costume home?
Oh, are you kidding?
I asked him the same thing.
That thing is worth a fortune, and it tours world. It actually tours after we take it off.
Amazing.
So, but listen, to your point, that's exactly right. That is 30 years later looking for other creative, interesting ways to have a new season. But when I was in it, I was just in it.
Dr. Drew, let's also point out that you've also told me, remember in the beginning of your career, you were the guy that was like up until 24/7, 7 days a week, because you're like, they need me and I'm important. Job is important. Even though you realize later down the line, you can't do everything.
But maybe there's an important point here, which is that, it's an important job, but maybe you can delegate. But I didn't believe that then, because I just thought to do it right, you had to be
always there.
Always there, always continuously connected to the process in order to really have it in your head and your judgment going so you knew exactly what was the right thing minute to minute. So if nurses call you, you were on top of it. You knew what was going on. If the family called you, you knew what was going on. You could tell them. And so I don't know how else you do it in certain jobs. I think law sometimes in certain environments is the same way. But let's take a little break. And when we get back, we're going to talk about New Year's resolutions because this is that time of year.
People
and I want to
do that.
Well, that's what we'll talk to Brian about.
I gave up.
Brian, you tell me, do they still do them? If they do them, should they do them? Do they stick? We'll forget about it. We'll talk about it. Brian Moran, executive consultant, productivity specialist at Brian P. Moran is where you can go. 12weekyear.com is where you can find out more. The 12 Week Year is the book. We'll talk more about it after the break with Leanne Tweeden and Dr. Drew on Midday Live, AM 790 KBC. Brian, New Year's resolutions. Okay. Where do you fall?
Yeah, great question. Well, you know, the thought's great. It's a good intention, but they break down, right? You know that by February, most people have bailed. And if you're
by February, it's like by January 6th.
if you work out consistently, you know, the parking lot's pretty full for a couple of weeks and then it tends out again. So two things with that. One we've already talked about is one of the breakdowns is people set these annual goals and, you know, in January, December looks a long way off. So it's easy to put things off. I can be inconsistent with it. So if you set 12-week goals, they're much more effective for all the reasons we've talked about. The other piece about that is any New Year's resolutions is just a goal. And so the key with a goal is really not only committing to the goal, but understanding what are the one or two keystone, what we call keystone actions, the most important actions, and committing to those. And it's really more important to commit to those because that's what you can control. You don't control the outcome. That's the goal. You control the actions. And so understanding what are the sacrifices I'm going to have to make to be consistent with the action, right? What's the cost of me taking that action daily or weekly? And that's what people don't consider. They set out and they look at the goal and they say, okay, I want to lose some weight. I want to quit smoking. I want to pay down debt, whatever that is. Great goal. What are the actions, though? Because that's where we pay the cost. Mm-hmm. And so really being clear on what are those costs and then consciously deciding, am I willing to pay those costs?
Right.
And one of the things cool about the 12-week year is we're not saying we're going to pay them for a lifetime or for 12 months, but for 12 weeks. Am I willing to pay those costs for 12 weeks?
Sacrifice.
And so I make that decision up front. So when I bump up against those, I'm not trying to decide in the moment. You know, am I going to pass on the cheesecake right now when it's sitting in front of me? That's hard to do. If I've made that decision in advance, then I don't even get in that emotional pickle of do I do it or don't I do it kind of thing. So it's really understanding what are those key actions and what are the costs to committing to and being consistent with the actions.
It's funny. It's like it's all those sort of, you know, when you're talking, it's like unintended consequences. You know, it's like, am I going to, you know, if I have to work out after work, am I going to miss time with my family or miss time with friends? And then am I going to lose touch with my friends or am I not going to be able to do the things that I want? But you're right. Is the sacrifice worth what it is that your goal is? And, you know, like you said, a lot of times people just go, oh, I want to do this without actually having a game plan. Because your game plan, you do have to actually research and see what it is that's going to cost you, what it's going to, you know.
And I'm wondering if sort of one of the big headlines behind what you're advocating is being able to prioritize, which is not an easy thing.
Right.
Is that true?
It is true. It is true. And it starts with really making sure you desire whatever that goal is. Because, you know, sometimes we think, oh, I want this, I want that. That's great. Are you willing to pay the price? Does that really matter? Because in the big scheme of things, you can't do everything. Is this one of the things that really matter to me? And again, the 12-week year makes it a little easier because if I can nail that in 12 weeks, then the next 12 weeks I can work on something else.
I'm wondering
but
if there...
it is a prioritization thing, for
and,
sure.
And are there any games you can play with yourself to help maintain motivation?
Yeah, there are. One is, you know, a couple things. One, if you don't go it alone, like if you
that's
take someone else with you.
That's good.
The buddy system's huge.
Yeah, that's good.
You know, there are other things like losing weight if you enter a competition or something where there is an official
goal.
Hard deadline.
Oof.
You got to perform on this date. You know, so there's some things like that. The other thing is understanding how you're wired, right? What are the rewards for you?
Right. I think knowing yourselves is a very key thing. Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly. And can I set those up not just at the end, but along the way so that as I make progress, I'm rewarding myself. I'm not just holding it off till I cross the finish line, but I'm rewarding as I make progress to build that momentum, to build the, you know, the flow and the rhythm to what I'm doing.
Brian, we got. I'm against the clock. I'm going to have to let you go. I appreciate you spending a little time with us.
Talk,
hopefully, people will go get the book, The 12-Week Year, the number 12. 12-Week Year, again, is where you can find the book, 12weekyear.com, and follow Brian at Brian P. Moran.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
You got it. Leanne Tweeden, Dr. Drew, it's Midday Live, AM 790 KBC.